We're going to be in Galatians, but I want you to go first to Psalms 143. I read this psalm the other day, and there's a lot found in that that was a blessing to me. But we just sang a song. I hope that you're not like me, but I come to church and I'm tired this evening, and I'm basically waiting for Toby to get through with the three songs so we can get on with it. and don't listen much to those songs. The last one was Moment by Moment, and really it's trying to get us to understand that every moment of the day that the Lord is with us and helping us, and He's an ever-present help. And I think sometimes we forget that. In Psalms 143, look at verse 8. David said, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." A very, very strange statement. It's, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness." But David knew that his life could become mundane, that his relationship with the Lord could be taken for granted, and that we get up and we go about our activity, and the Lord is kind of there, but He's kind of on the back burner. And he's saying here, you know, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness." And he wants that in the morning as he begins the day, to know that the Lord loves him, to know that the Lord has a plan for him for that day. And I think that we need to get back to the song Moment by Moment and realize that every moment of the day the Lord is with us. He's guiding us, if we'll just acknowledge that and look to that, and His ever-present help in the time of trouble. Okay, I want to go to Galatians, and this evening you're going to get the badge side of this message, and then the next time I preach here, you're going to get the good side. But we're going to look in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Of all of the letters that Paul wrote that's recorded in our scriptures to the different churches, Galatians is the only letter that he wrote that he didn't greet them with an accommodation. He just begins the letter immediately and gets on to them about the fact that they're trying to mix works, circumcision, works with salvation. As he comes to the end here, he warns them about the consequences for disobedience and sin. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of his spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." And so, Paul gives us in this passage a divine law that applies both to the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm. The law of sowing and the law of reaping. That is, we will always harvest exactly what we've sown. When we sow potatoes, then we'll harvest potatoes if the crop comes. When we sow to the flesh spiritually, we're going to reap corruption. When we sow to the flesh with the right way, then we're going to reap spiritual benefits. And so the laws here both have a very positive thing and a very negative thing, and tonight we're going to note the negative and then make sure you come back for the positive. First of all, he says here, "Be not deceived," in verse 7. Of course, when a person is deceived, he is led away from the truth led away from reality. He's led into error. And of course, we know that Satan can tempt us to sin, can tempt us into error. But we have to realize also that we can't say like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. But we sin on our own accord. We willfully sin. But I think more than the devil in this area of reaping and sowing and this area of sin, that perhaps the greatest enemy is not Satan, but the greatest enemy is our old flesh. Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that was good I find not." And so he says this, "Be not deceived." We deceive ourselves when we think that God's word really doesn't mean what it says, or we're not accountable to it, or God's not going to be that hard upon us. And then he goes on and he adds to this, and he says, God is not mocked. And of course, mock is to make fun of something, to turn our nose up and sneer at it. How foolish it is to mock the trooper when he pulls your car over. How insane it would be to stand before a judge at trial and turn your nose up at him, sneering at him and mocking his actions. Schaefer Cox has been convicted because he acted like that, among other things. Only a deranged person would mock the king of a kingdom. But how often do we mock God? By knowing His Word and knowing His will, and think that God will not hold us accountable to His laws. And so He has a law here, the laws of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I think one of the things we need to understand about this is that this law here, sowing and reaping, is not a retribution in that God is getting even or God is getting back. But this is a warning from God out of the heart of God. And He's saying, listen, don't go there, because in going there, there's an unchangeable law that you will reap what you've sown. And God is not there, as I said, trying to get revenge or get retribution. But God is giving this for our own benefit. As Paul writes this to the Galatians, he doesn't want them to ever experience the reaping in the bad way. He wants them to understand that they ought to stay away from sin and guard their heart from sin. God knows for the young person to go into the world and commit fornication is to reap a sin against his own body. God knows that for us, for a person to rob someone else, that there's not only a bad repercussion to the one who's been robbed, but also There's going to be some bad repercussions for the robber. If you've ever been robbed of anything, you feel so violated. You feel like, you know, how could that happen? I forgot to share with you, but Brother Aya, there in Columbia, I think it was Brother Aya. There's another man that Brother Creech works with, but the other day they woke up and they found out that someone had come in and gassed them, and it all slept in and couldn't, you know, wake up when they needed to be. And they stole a lot of his ministry material and equipment and computers. But you feel so violated. And God knows that reaping and sowing and reaping is a terrible thing for us to experience. God knows that when we lie, you know, a person who is a perpetual liar really lives a very, troubled life, in the sense that he's always got to remember the lie that he told. I mean, just tell the truth, but you always got to remember to, you know, don't let this slip. And it's always, if you just would tell the truth, it'd be better off. And so, the laws of sowing and reaping. Somehow we think that God will change His laws for us, or that He'll overlook some of the things, but God's not going to accommodate us by changing His laws of sowing and reaping. God will not change the law of gravity just because we might want to fly. It's a law of nature. And thank God that he doesn't change the law of gravity. There will be some pretty bizarre things happening. God will not change the laws of sowing and reaping. What if we sowed peas and it came up okra? For some of you from the South, you probably enjoy that, but us Northerners don't really. What if you sowed apples and it bore pine cones? But God's law concerning sin, we're not given to give God a good time in watching us suffer, but to our benefit. Adam's fall placed all mankind on a road to death, and the flesh can only reap corruption, but God's law says that we're going to reap benefits. And so, when we consider the laws of sowing and reaping, you've heard these surely mentioned before, but there's really three parts of that law of sowing and reaping. First of all, you're going to reap what you sow. And second of all, you're going to reap later than you sow. And third of all, you reap more than you sow. One of the fundamental laws of nature is that we reap the same kind that we've sown. If a farmer plants wheat, he'll harvest wheat. He's not going to harvest barley or corn or oats or anything else, but he only harvests wheat. The man who plants a pecan orchard will not see oranges or apples or pears, of course, but he will see the pecans. And the same is true in the realm of human and spiritual relationships. When you examine the Bible, you'll see that people reap what they sow. First of all, let's think of this, the man named Jacob. Remember that Jacob and Esau, they wanted the blessing of their father, Isaac. And already Jacob had been told that he's going to be blessed. From his very birth, that was evident that God wanted to bless Jacob. But instead of trusting God to fulfill his promises, that he would inherit the blessing over Esau, remember that he deceived his father. His father wanted some venison. And he deceived his father, and he went out and he killed the goat and prepared it like venison. And Isaac, in his dimness of eyes, he knew that he could identify Esau because Esau was a hairy man. And so Jacob disguised himself and put skins upon his arms to appear to be hairy. And he sowed deception. He told a lie. And then you remember that God took Jacob down into the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he worked for Laban, and he worked for Laban and made an agreement with Laban that if he would work for Laban for 7 years, he would receive Rachel as his wife. And so he worked for 7 years, and at the end of that 7 years, when the time came for Rachel to be given to him, late at night, Laban brought over his daughter and presented him in the darkness of the night to Jacob. And when he woke up, it wasn't Jacob at all, was it? It was Leah. And he reaped what he'd sown. He reaped his deceitfulness. Remember in 1 Kings chapter 21, you'll read about the acquiring of some desired property by Ahab and his wife Jezebel. There was a man named Naboth who owned a vineyard, and it was a very desirable vineyard, and when the king would go by there, he would cry and mope like a little baby to his wife how much he wanted that vineyard, but Naboth wouldn't sell the vineyard because the laws of Israel of inheritance is that the land would go on and pass on to the next generation and then keep it in the same tribe. Naboth was not of the same tribe as Ahab. And so there was a plan cooked up between them that they went down. And if you look with me over in 1 Kings chapter 21, and you'll see the great sowing that takes place here by Ahab and Jezebel. And 1 Kings chapter 21, they had went down and they had cocked up this lie and got some men to testify that Naboth had blasphemed God, and they killed Naboth for blaspheming God. And then we find them taking over the property. And 1 Kings chapter 21 and 17, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. And behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I'll bring evil upon thee. You're going to reap exactly what you've sown. And I'll take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And so he says, you're not going to have a descendant from your own sons to reign in Israel. And I'll make thy house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherein thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And then he says in verse 23, and of Jezebel who spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And so they're going to reap what they've sown. The prophet comes and tells them, you've killed Naboth, and now you're going to reap. We reap wrong. We reap what we've sown. Yes, God is willing to forgive sin. But God, the forgiveness of sin does not reverse the effects of sowing and reaping. Although a man can hide and excuse and ignore his sins, he'll reap the effects of his behavior in the form of suffering and guilt and the judgment of God. Numbers decries, be sure your sins will find you out. And those who reject God's counsel will be destroyed in their folly. The psalmist said, behold, he dwelleth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made, and his mischief shall be returned upon his own head. And so, we're just simply saying to you, the first law is if I sow murder, I'll be murdered. I'm going to reap exactly what I've sown. Now, the second thing I'd have you understand is that we see over here, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it looks really good over here at old Bill Lewis's old place. They planted a crop out there. I don't know who's doing that, but Bill Lewis, he's this old cabin over here. Some of you don't even know who Bill Lewis is, except me and Mrs. Adams maybe and Veronica. But, you know, he was actually at one time the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Alaska. But he's a Democrat. Anyway, they're reaping what they're sowing over there. And the plants are coming up. But what they put in the ground here in June will not be harvested until August. We reap later than we sow. If it's a fruit tree, you plant a little tree and it takes a couple of years for it to grow. And then pretty quick it'll begin to produce fruit. And the bigger it gets, the more fruit it'll produce. I think that I understand that when you plant grapes, that it takes 3 or 4 years before grapes even produce. And so you reap later than you sow. Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. He said there in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And so we don't always reap right away. People who sow sin do not always reap their sin right away. And I think sometimes God gives that space a time for repentance. But sometimes people just think, well, you know, it makes them have more boldness because, well, God's not done anything. I want you to look over in Psalm 73. We have an indication in Psalm 73 that people do reap later than they sow. Don't ever think that God didn't see and God didn't know and that the reaping won't take place. It just may be later. In Psalm 73, Asaph is the writer of this psalm, and Asaph is looking out upon mankind, and he says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Asaph was looking at the world and said, these guys are wicked and they're sinning and they're going against God's law. But it seems like they're prospering. They're not reaping. You know, where is the law of sowing and reaping? For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. And so all he sees is that in their wickedness, all they're doing is prospering. And here, they're becoming more and more proud. And then they're mocking God. In fact, they say they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. In verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And so he talks about how they're mocking God. And then he tells us in verse 12, or verse 11, and they say, how doth God know? You know, is there knowledge in the Most High? We're doing what we're doing. God's not judged us. You know, how does God know? Is there someone up there in the high that really knows things? And he says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world and increase in riches. He's saying, where is the law of sowing and reaping? These guys are prospering. These guys are increasing in riches. And he's beginning to be disturbed about that and almost begins to slip. And he talks about in verses 13 through 16 that the children of God don't prosper. And he says, verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've got saved and tried to live a righteous life in vain. For all the day long, I've been plagued. And he says, if I will speak thus, behold, I should offend. And he said, this is what I'm thinking. And if I say this, I'm going to offend the younger Christians or the weaker Christians. And he was in quite a quandary until he comes to verse 18. And he says, surely, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How art they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they're utterly consumed with terror. They're going to reap, but it's going to be later. Ernest Hemingway was a great author and was really admired by many people. But I don't know if you know it, but he was famous for snubbing his nose at morality and at God. He declared that his own life proved a person could do anything he wanted without paying the consequences. And like many others before and after him, he considered the ideas of the Bible to be old-fashioned and outdated, completely useless to modern man, and a hindrance to his own pleasure and self-fulfillment. Moral laws to him were religious superstition that had no relevance. One time he wrote a mockery of the Lord's Prayer in Spanish, and the word nada means nothing. And he said, who art in nada? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art nada, or nothing. But instead of proving that life and self-fulfillment was the way to go, Hemingway one day left his upstairs room and went downstairs and put a shotgun to his head and blew his head off. He reaped what he sowed. Often, Christian men and women will take the road of Demas, who love this present world, and they forget that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Materialism has become their God. Listen, money can buy a bed, but money cannot buy sleep. Money can buy food, but money cannot buy an appetite. Money can buy a house, but money cannot buy a home. Money can buy medicine, but money can't buy health. Money can buy amusement and pleasure, but money can't buy happiness. Money can buy gifts, but money can't buy love. And money can even buy a crucifix for you to wear around your neck, but it won't buy you a personal savior. And so, you reap what you sow, and you reap later than you sow. And then thirdly, you're going to reap more than you sow. It seemed like, we talked to you there earlier there about Jezebel and Ahab, and how that Ahab, they said that they were going to lick his blood right there by the vineyard, and later on, the dogs are going to eat Jezebel in Jezreel. How many years you think went by before Jezebel was eaten at Jezreel? 14 years. 14 years of her strutting her stuff. 14 years thinking, I've escaped the words of the prophet. But Jehu, who driveth furiously, he's the guy that drove the chariot furiously. Jehu, who drove furiously, went down to Jezreel. And Jezebel poked her head out the window and says, are you for us? You know, what are you doing here? And he yelled at the men to throw her down. And he threw her down, he ran the chariot over and went in to eat. When he came back, all that was remaining was her hands. A guy named R.G. Lee preached a famous sermon that's been recorded and recorded and preached all across America when he was still alive, called Payday Someday. You're going to reap what you sow. And Jezebel did. And thirdly, you're going to reap more than you sow. When a kernel of corn is put into the ground, and one kernel of corn sprouts, it will usually, a corn plant will usually produce at least 3 ears of corn. On every one of those ears of corn, there's an average of 250 kernels. And so if there's 3 ears of corn, from one little corn kernel can come 750 kernels. That's a lot more than what was sown. And God says we're going to reap what we've sown. In the laws of sowing and reaping, we reap more than what we've sown. It's going to reap more and more benefits, positively or negatively. Look over in Proverbs 22 and 18. In Proverbs 22 and 18, or verse 8, I'm sorry. He says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. That word vanity is a Hebrew word which means he's going to reap wickedness. He's going to reap mischief. And he's sown a little bit of iniquity, but he's going to reap so much more. In the book of Hosea, it says this. It says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The whirlwind represents the harvest that comes from sowing the wind, but it also represents much more than that. The whirlwind is violent. The wind, not so violent. When he talks about the whirlwind, it's like a tornado. And he's saying basically in Hosea that Israel's expression of displeasure with God by turning to idols was going to be seen as just sowing in the wind, but God is going to send a gale. God is going to send judgment down from the Babylonian Empire, and they're going to reap terribly. David sowed the sin of murder and adultery. David went out and looked upon Bathsheba and lusted for her and committed adultery. But he just merely sowed the wind, but he's going to reap a whirlwind. David defiled one man's wife, but as a result of that, one of his daughters is going to be raped by her stepbrother. His son Absalom is going to go and defile not just one woman, but many of his own father's wives. David had murdered one man, but the time all this had reaped what had been sown, four of his sons died premature deaths. His illegitimate child, Amnon, Absalom, and Adonijah. David sinned secretly, but the consequences that he suffered were openly. A person may think that the seed of sin you're about to sow is a real small thing, but you're going to reap what you sow, you're going to reap later than you sow, and you're going to reap more than you sow. And so let me say this, that no matter what, today and tomorrow, this month, next month, you're going to reap. We're all going to reap something. There's set before our lives the possibility to reap good or to reap bad. Our lives are reaping. Our lives are a process of sowing and reaping. That we don't just sit there as a field that's idle, but there's always something happening in our life that's going to result in us sowing some things and us reaping some things. If we sow to the flesh, it says there in Galatians, we'll reap the flesh. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap life everlasting. The sowing to the flesh reaps corruption. It speaks of, with a Christian, it speaks of war in our lives. It speaks of our rottenness in our lives. It speaks of our setting ourselves on the throne. It speaks of being conformed to this world. It speaks of seeking first the kingdom of wealth and fame and not the kingdom of God. And so that word corruption just means rottenness. It's to plant a garden and have it all come up and rot. It's to go out and pick blueberries, and when you get home, you find out that they're all spoiled. It's to go against your parents or your pastor or the Holy Spirit in the end, and maybe your choice of marriage, or maybe a choice to move to a new town, or the choice of decision to work on Sundays, or a choice to take a job that is a job where you have to do immoral things. And what's going to result in that is rottenness. There's just a lot of people who have left Plaquemine Baptist Church in the 28 years that I've been here who weren't in God's will when they left, and their family had reaped and has reaped and are reaping rottenness. Now, go back with me to Galatians. I want to point out something here. We're going to quit. But in Galatians chapter 6 again. In Galatians 6, where it says in verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, what I want you to see as we close here, and we'll look at more of this next time I preach. I think Brother Gerst scheduled to preach next Wednesday. But that word, it says, reap life everlasting. Most of the time we think of that just as, well, that's going to be eternal life. And it is, that is eternal life. And you think, well, that's in the future, and of course, you know, but I live in the present time. But really, the understanding of that is more than just future eternal life. And it's not just the time period of life, But when he talks about reaping life everlasting, it also speaks about the quality of life. If I would say to you, you know, that brand of power saw or that brand of drill, that drill brand, that's a great drill, that drill will last you forever. Now, we all know that it's not going to last forever. But what do we mean by that? When we say that'll last you forever, what we mean by that is that it's a good quality. That it's a very good quality drill. Well, when he says here in this passage, he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Everlasting life is not just about the endurance of life, but everlasting life is also about the quality of life. And we in this world as Christians, we have a choice before us. We can either obey the Word of God and reap by obedience, or we can disobey the Word of God and reap by disobedience. And what's available for us is not just eternal salvation, but what's available to us is a high quality of life in obeying and serving the Lord. And we can reap that. We can have that a part of our life that we don't have to sow and reap always the bad things. We can yield to Him. Now, how is that going to take place? Well, how do we sow that which is spiritual? How do we sow here what He says, He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting? How do you sow to the Spirit? I mean, this ain't going to benefit us unless we know how to sow to the Spirit. Well, first of all, we can sow to the Spirit by yielding to the Spirit. Look what it says in chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies as living sacrifice. It's to have our affections set upon the things of heaven and not the things of earth. It's to have a life that's dead to sin and dead to self. It's to have a life hidden in Christ. It's to listen to the Spirit of God and obey the Spirit of God and try to be in the will of God. And I don't know if I've got all across tonight as I want to, but I want you to just go away with understanding this, is that you will reap. And after 62 years of life, I just want to say to you as sincerely as I can, you don't have to make mistakes that's going to be with you the rest of your life. You don't have to reap negatively. God wants to bless you. But God has to do it within the realm of His Word. Question what you do. This whole world just kind of sucks us along. And we just kind of fall into it and kind of drift with the current. But this whole world is not going the direction God wants you to go. Examine your life and see if you're worldly. Examine your life and ask the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you. David in that Psalms 143 just asked the Lord to show him and to guide him. On day by day, he asked the Lord to show me your will today. David asked in Psalm 143 that God would quicken him, making him alive and sensitive. Don't reap negatively. I don't know how to express that anymore. I just know that we will reap. Thank God that He can salvage some things. And He has salvaged some things. And thank God that we're allowed to not just sow one time and reap that one time, but we can continue to sow, and we can sow to the Spirit and reap a high quality of life. Okay? Sorry for the length of that. Maybe you got something out of it anyway. Anything to share tonight? Any encouraging things happening in prison?